someplace in the South, Mississippi or Alabama or someplace, and one time, this teenage girl and this guy got together under a tree, and now there's the Oprah Winfrey Show, and there's all of these people in Africa who are benefiting by all of the things that she has done, and all the millions of people who've been, all because of one moment under it. Like, there's got to be something bigger going on here than just somebody happening to see somebody under a tree one time, and her getting pregnant and having this child, you see. So it's this thing that I'm talking about is more than faith. I mean, you give a lot of credit to a 747. I do. I mean, I'm amazed every time I get on one and the thing can get off the ground. And it's a tinker toy compared to what I am. The trillions and trillions of interlocking cells, all that work together just to allow these words to come out of my mouth right now. I mean, imagine what a miracle it is that these words are coming out of my mouth right now. What is it? What are they? They're just vibrations. There's a voice box in here, and there's air being aspirated between my voice box and my tongue and my teeth and my lips and my jaw. Aspirating air is just air aspirating coming out there, and it comes out as a sound. Not only is it on a sound, but I got a guy over here in the corner, Rocky, who's recording it on something that doesn't even have tapes in it. It used to be at least you could see a tape. Now it's just digital, and now you're listening to it, and this may have been recorded 50 years ago, and you're listening to it, and it makes some sense to you. Do you see that there's this incredible, miraculous thing that is going on called spirit? That you can't just attribute to happenstance and luck and maybe and coincidence, that there's an organizing intelligence that you, in the first 9 months of your life, completely and totally surrendered to and allowed to make you into the being that you are, and then you showed up and you decided, you know what? It's time for me to take over. I'm going to show you what this thing is really all about. And you take on this thing called an ego. And what this ego is, it's an E-G-O, ego. Edging God out, ego. So you edge God out and you say, okay, you handled it up to here, now I'll take over. And who I am is not this perfect organizing intelligence that I am a piece of because I must be what I came from. I'm not that anymore. What I am is me. And I am separate from everybody else. God says, whoa, 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 whoa. You're not separate from everybody else. You're connected to everybody else. You're a piece of everything. No, 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 no. And you start believing that you are these six components. Here they are. Ego. I am what I have. So now you start collecting stuff. The more stuff that you get, the more important that you are. All right? The only problem is that where you came from, you had nothing. You had no thing, no things at all. And when you leave, you're going to have no things. But you forget that and you start accumulating. I am what I have. The only problem with that belief, which is just a thought you keep thinking over and over and over again, because now you're immersed in and surrounded by people who have convinced you that the more you have, the more stuff you accumulate, the more important you are, the better you are, the more valuable you are, the more God likes you. And so you start evaluating your self-importance on the basis of what you have. The problem with that is, then when what you have starts to dissolve and disappear and you don't have it anymore, someone takes it away or it gets burned up in a fire or someone steals it or whatever it might be that is ultimately happening to everything that you have, then you've evaluated or equated who you are with what it is that you have, but you don't have it anymore, so now your worth is exactly zero. It's exactly the same as the stuff that you don't have. And even if you're a multi-zillionaire on your deathbed, your multi-zillionaire-ness means nothing. And so now you get to die believing that you are nothing, that you have nothing. You see? So it's a very dangerous, non-inspiring, attitude to take on, that I am what I have. Second belief you have is that I am what I do. So now you start working real hard to achieve as much as you possibly can. Now, where you came from, you didn't have to do anything. You just came from a place where you are perfect. You're a piece of God. You're part of the organizing intelligence that went from formless to form, from spirit to particle. You didn't have to do a thing, and you still don't have to do a thing. And the problem with believing that you are what you do is that when you don't, you aren't. When you no longer can do, when it's time to retire, when your job is taken away, when unemployment starts going up, when all kinds of things might happen that you can no longer do it, that you're not capable of doing it anymore, and you have invested your worth, your very identity in what it is that you are creating and what it is that you are doing, when you invest that in that, and that starts to dissolve, then you have dissolved as a being as well. But remember, you're not what you do. That's the false self. That's what Patanjali called the false self. And then you start to believe that I am only not what I have and what I do, so I have to work really hard, get motivated, and I have to collect as much as I can, accumulate. You start to believe that I am what other people think of me. I am my reputation, which is the third component of this ego. So now it's like I got to get everybody out there to like me, and it's very important for people to think of me as this or think of me as that, and if I'm not liked or if I'm not respected or if I'm different than everybody else or if I'm not as tall or if I'm not as attractive or if my biceps aren't as big or my breasts aren't as large or my face doesn't look the right way or my hair color was not the way or my hair falls out, God forbid, that's the worst that could possibly happen, all right? But whatever it is, if you start believing that I am what other people think of me, then you start getting yourself into a place where there's absolutely no exit. You cannot get back to God believing that. Because what happens is you become your reputation, but your reputation is not located in you. It's located in other people. When you were in spirit, before you emanated into form, you didn't have any reputations to be concerned about because you and everyone else were all one. You and God were one. Very dangerous, again, place to get to. Absolutely uninspiring place to be because you cannot be in spirit and be consumed with getting other people to approve of what it is that you are doing. You came here with a mission. You came here with a knowing about what it is that you are going to create and do. And to be consumed with other people liking it or not liking it is a decidedly unspiritual, non-spiritual, uninspiring thing to do. You can never be inspired by being consumed with being liked by others. You have to go within and find a place within yourself that is profoundly you. And no one else has to get it. No one has to understand it. As I said in my little book, 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace, don't die with your music still in you. Don't die wondering. The fourth thing that this ego part of you, this where you've edged God out, starts telling you is that not only am I am what I have and what I do and what other people think of me, but I am separate from everybody else. So now you start believing in your separation. And remember what I quoted here at the beginning, which is that the only lack you need correct is your belief in your separation from God. But you've come to believe that you're separate from everybody else. So in the process of becoming separate from everybody else, you start competing with everybody else. You start comparing who you are on the basis of how well you fit in. And being number one becomes so important, and being better than other people becomes really very significant. And this separation thing from everybody else is what causes us to continue to have conflicts and wars and hatreds. And instead of understanding that we are all just individualized expressions of God, all of us are. And whatever color we are, and whatever size we are, and whatever language that we speak, that there is nothing like that in the place that we came from. But instead, we start taking this on, and then we start having, in our separation, we start believing that our culture is better than somebody else's culture, and that this language is a better language to speak than that language. And we get consumed with all these trivial kinds of concerns in our lives, all of which are totally meaningless. It doesn't matter what language you speak. It doesn't matter what side of the river you were born on. It doesn't matter how many generations back that your ancestors did what they did. The fact is that we're all one. Never send to know for whom the bell tolls.